Okay, so here we are for another special edition of our Getting to Know series. And this week I'm joined by probably one of the happiest men in Welsh football at the moment, Rob Edward. Welcome, Rob. Thanks for joining me. You must be delighted with how the last couple of weeks have gone. It's been a bit of a whirlwind for you, I guess.
It has, yeah. I can take absolutely no responsibility for the club situation. But yeah, delighted. I think you look at the effort put in by everybody last season, managers, coaches, the amazing volunteers that keep the club ticking over day to day. I think they deserve it. You can see the ambition in the club to get back to the Premier League. I think it was a statement made early last season, and a lot of pressure was on Wayne and the team to deliver, and they've done it. So yeah, very happy for them. And now I've got the good bit now to try and keep us in the Premier League, take us forward, and make us compete really.
And what have the last few weeks been like for you? Because obviously there's been a bit of a courtship, I guess, over 6 weeks before you actually got involved officially. And then you've had 2 weeks now of interviews and getting to know people and so on. So what's that been like for you?
It's baptism of fire, really. I think when you look from the outside, being a lifelong footballer, everything that you have to get to grips with day to day. And yeah, it's been a massive, massive learning curve, to be honest. Exciting. It's been a lot of fun. Kind of see myself awake 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, just minds going about things that we can do. Obviously, the last 4 weeks, particularly, obviously 2 weeks before the takeover and then 2 weeks since, when the limbo with regards to what division we're playing in has been hanging over us. It's been a little bit more stressful than we would have liked. Obviously, we're a bit behind now on the commercial front, so we've tried to put as much as we can in place so that we can try and generate income into the club through sponsorships. Now we know what division we're playing in. Obviously, the playing side, we've tried to do as much as we can, but again, hamstrung a little bit in terms of what we could do. But we're delighted to make the first announcements yesterday. Hopefully, a few more to come. It's been a whirlwind, and to be honest, it feels like it's been longer than 2 weeks since the announcement. And I feel like I've known David Hughes about 2 years now, the amount we've spoken. I've probably spoken to him more than I've spoken to anybody in my entire life. But it's been great getting to know everyone from afar. Hopefully now I can look forward to getting down as soon as I'm allowed.
And tell me, how does a businessman based in London, I think I'm right in saying, become aware of Halford West and become involved with a club like Halford West? How did that come about?
Absolutely not the intention whatsoever. I wasn't looking at a club in South Wales at all. I think it's a 10-hour round trip from where I am. So it's, I think a combination of lockdown madness and just an opportunity that came up at the right time, I guess. Always wanted to be involved in a football club, looking at teams in the south of England. But nothing quite materialised. I think the opportunity to get involved at a club in England without a huge amount of risk is extremely difficult, as you can see. I mean, there's so many people trying to do the same thing. Everyone wants to break into the Football League, and when you're in the Football League, you want to get into the Championship. When you're in the Championship, you want to get into the Premier League. And there's just so many people want to do that now. The amount of money you need to do that is just becoming off the charts. And I've mentioned Salford a few times. There's also teams in lower leagues, Eastleigh, Billericay. They've not succeeded despite spending huge amounts of money. So the agency that I was using to get involved in football clubs before just sent this over as an opportunity, and it just said it was a semi-professional football club. I had no idea it would be someone as far west as you can go. But upon looking, I think it's a rarity of seeing a club performing really well on the pitch and really well off the pitch, in a good place in terms of the books. Teams performing really well, great people involved. Good team spirit. You can see from, I've obviously not met any of the players yet, but you can see through speaking to the managers a good togetherness in the group. So it's just a great balance, and it was just really easy to, despite the distance and despite the unknowns of Welsh football. I'm a huge football fan, but I tend not to venture too far out of the English leagues. But obviously knew of the club, seen them popping up on coupons, on flash scores, on CFATs when that was alive, and remember them playing in Europe 15 years ago. So it's a club I knew of, but knew very little about. And then over the last 8 weeks, I've tried to watch as many videos, speak to as many people, do as much research as possible. And it was just really, really easy to want to get involved.
You mentioned there as far west as you can go. Have you been to Haverford West before? Have you been to Pembrokeshire? Or?
No, never. Well, you were, but yeah, no, it's not. I think I've got a Welsh name. That's the only affiliation to that part of the world, to be honest. So it's not a place I've ever been to. Obviously, just through research, I know a bit about the area, but yeah, not at all. I've just rented a cottage in Spittal for when I'm in town, which will be nice to engulf myself locally and get to know people and try out the country pubs and the food, which I've heard is pretty good.
And you mentioned you're a big fan of football anyway. What is your relationship with the game? I mean, you're a Leyton Orient fan, obviously. You're involved with Leyton Orient as well, as I understand it. Where did your sort of love affair with football begin, I guess?
Just through Orient, really. That was the first club I ever saw live. My dad was a fan. My granddad was a fan. He went in the... Well, my granddad probably would have went in the 40s, 50s, 60s. My dad's 60s, 70s, 80s. During that time, we were actually pretty good. So my dad decided to inflict the misery of fourth division football on me in 1991, 1992. Since then, there's been more downs and ups. But I think it's not necessarily about the winning for me. I think it's just I'm not a religious man, so this is kind of my church, if you like, is going to watch Orient play, and you get to know everyone. It's more about the camaraderie. And it's actually quite comforting on a Saturday knowing that you're probably going to get beat, because the only way is up. I'm never miserable on a Saturday at 5 o'clock, where a lot of my friends that support the big teams will always be kind of a matter of life or death. To me, it's just about being part of a great club. We'll run recently and a period before that, we had a spell in the middle, which was kind of, I think a lot of fans fell out of love with the club, to be honest. But that's been invigorated recently. And yeah, just grew up watching football my entire life. My dad was a big football fan, took me to the O's, and it's basically what we did together.
And if you don't mind me asking, why take the plunge then from being an avid football fan to wanting to be a director or have that kind of role? I mean, why take the responsibility?
I've worked in finance for pretty much all of my working life, and it gets to a point when you work in there for so long, the enjoyment goes and the kind of love of what you do goes, and you kind of make excuses not to go to work anymore, and it's not a good place to be. So I kind of took the decision now that I'm young enough that if things go wrong, I can still go back to a profession. But I feel like I'm in a good point in life to focus on what I really want to do. So I have a wine business, which is going through a period of growth, which is quite exciting, which has been a big hobby of mine. Horse racing is another hobby of mine that's been, again, influenced from my dad. And now football. So I have the trilogy. So now I'm basically skipping to work. I can't wait to get up in the morning and get to work. It's invigorating being able to do things that you really enjoy. Obviously, there is a risk that when you put the business side to it, you could potentially lose that love of the actual subject matter. But yeah, it's been involved in all areas of my life for such a long time, football particularly, so I can't see that ever happening.
And you mentioned you had a lot of conversations with the powers that be at Haverford West. What about those conversations attracted you? I mean, what were there things that stood out to you about the club that made you think this is the place you wanted to be and so on?
I think just the amount they cared about it, to be honest. Speaking to David, obviously most of the time, run the club for a good number of years in a great way. Rob Davis, commercial director, has a busy business, but still is ingrained in the club. And the volunteers, I mean, Mickey Ellis is first team coach, groundsman, kit man, builder, electrician, gopher. Eddie Bunston is, every time I speak to David, he's at the club and Ed is there doing something, hosing the back of the stand, cleaning the seats. You can just tell how much that everyone involved in the club, how much it means to them all. And the community side is a big part of Leyton Orient. I see a lot of similarities in what they do. And you can tell how much a community club means to the people involved, and vice versa, how much the club means to the community. So that was, I think, just the passion of the people and the fact that the only way is really up now. I think there's so much scope to move forward with it. There's just a huge amount of potential on and off the pitch. And yeah, there's a lot to be put in place, and a lot can be put in place, but there's a great foundation there already that doesn't really need fixing. It just needs to be improved upon, have a bit of a facelift and improve on the pitch. Looking at the digital side and more content and engaging through social media, because obviously that's a a great way of attracting younger people into a club by speaking at their level, and also just engage the club to the wider community, really.
And what are the challenges of directorship in the current circumstances? Because obviously you can't go to the club, you can't be on the ground, so to speak, every day. So how has that been challenging for you in these early days?
Well, it has. I mean, I've never seen the ground, so I'm talking to people about cleaning, repairs, grass, driving around the community, training facilities, and I'm not able to see that. So it's not far from ideal, but at the same time, I think we've all learned that we can get by now by the technology we've got around. Obviously, the Zoom that we're speaking on, various other platforms, and I think there's just a massive shift in London where I live. With companies closing large office space to go down to smaller office space because they can all work remotely. It's probably the biggest shift in work life that's ever happened. Certainly more than any policies from MPs could impact. So it's difficult because I'm just itching to get there and see everything and get a feel for the place. But we've managed to do quite a bit so far in terms of getting up to speed and putting things in place just through Zoom and telephone, email. We've managed to get by, but yeah, as soon as I can get down there, I'll be on the first train.
And where are the areas that you've been able to identify maybe that need strengthening or improving or that can be built upon in your early assessments?
Obviously, we're stepping up a division. I mean, we were confident, very confident that we would be a Premier League team, so we were preparing on the basis we would be. If we weren't, obviously we'd have lost a few weeks, but we're running that risk anyway. So on the pitch, definitely there's a massive step up between the South and the Premier League. So that had to be addressed straight away. Not taking anything away from the ability of the players that got us there. There's going to be no, as you've seen from, or we've seen from the retainer, if there's only a few players that have moved on. And the players that are coming in so far, I think there's been three good players being announced, and hopefully there'll be a few more fairly soon. And we want to get that up to speed so that we can hit pre-season with a full squad ready to go next season. So playing side, definitely. Not weaknesses, just improvements needed to take that step up. The commercial side, I think there's plenty more scope to be done in terms of bringing sponsors and supporters into the club. I know attendances have not been particularly high, but I think the draw of Premier League football, bigger clubs coming to town, community work that we can do, which is going to be underway, which will let the club know that we're there and get people coming into the club on a day-to-day basis, whether it's for cups of tea and a chat, or whether it's a support, or whether there's a local community project going on, or whether it's Wales schoolboys coming to play at the ground, because the facilities are immaculate and they're well prepared for some big games. So the commercial side, definitely. With regards to the board, they've worked tirelessly for God knows how many years, and they're in there to be very polite, and they'll probably appreciate that is the twilight years of their life, and it will be nice for them to do what they want to do within the club still, but not feel like they have to go in on a Sunday morning and cut the grass. I mean, we want to try and get a younger generation of volunteers and younger generation of fans and supporters of the club to come through to kind of take the baton over, really. There's a lot that can be changed, but there's nothing glaringly. There's not a massive hole in the club that needs to be filled. It's just over a period of time, bringing the right people in from board level, attracting the right level, the right kind of level and quality of sponsors, the right quality of players, and over the period of 1, 2, 3 years, just really build the infrastructure around what's already there.
And in terms of plans for the future on the pitch, I mean, do you look at consolidation as the first goal in terms of the Premier League status? And then where do you see it going from there? I mean, obviously Europe is something the club has achieved previously. Is that something you hope to do again?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, we have to be realistic. As I said, the step up is a big step up. And there's teams that are full-time that have been playing in that division and been successful for many years, and with the prize money from Europe that they'll have year in, year out, just means that they can consistently keep that high level of ability on the pitch. So under no illusion that we're not going to go in and take the league by storm. But I certainly think there's enough there to consolidate. And then a season in the Premier League, the lot of young players that we have already and the young players that we've signed yesterday need some experience alongside that, which is kind of the next step to make sure there's that good mix. But these young players will learn so much from one season in the Premier League. the quality of the coaches that are already in place will also improve their ability. And I think just organically, the quality of the squad will improve with what we have. And playing in the Premier League for another season, it's just we're in the shop window as much as some of the good young players are of being able to attract those coming into the club and having come in inquiries to us, really, because they know what type of football we'll play, we'll know the facilities, they'll know the quality of the coaching staff. So definitely consolidation, that's number one. If we finish 10th, I'll be over the moon. And then obviously just a gradual increase. I mentioned Europe because why not? I mean, if you aim for the moon, you might hit the stars. You've got to have ambition. There's no point in someone coming in and saying, yeah, we want to scrape into the Premier League, kicking and screaming year in, year out, because it's not going to infuse those around you. But we also think we can back achieve that, whether it's 3, 4, 5 years, who knows? But I just want to see the club continually improve year on, year out, without the pressures of having to get European prize money to fund losses. We want to try and grow it in an organic way, and the more comes in, the more can be invested, and hopefully that will naturally just move the team forward. So yeah, consolidation would be delighted. Compete in a cup competition in a year or two and potentially get to a final or win some silverware in 2 or 3 years would be great. But yeah, that's the long-term aim is to be taking the club back to Europe after 15, 16 years, I think, since they last played in there.
No, absolutely. I mean, you've already attracted some exciting young players. You alluded to that there'll be a few more coming in. I mean, how do you expect the team to adapt to the challenge of going up a level? Because, you know, playing styles might have to change. I don't know what those sort of conversations you might have had, but what do you expect are the biggest adaptations you'll have to make to stepping up to the next level?
I think in terms of the current player ready, so they'll know it very well. The players coming in, I think the two, Corey and Cameron, was signed from Cambrian and Clidac yesterday. They were two of the standout players in the division last season. Obviously, I didn't see them play at any point, but obviously through watching older videos and comments from the coaching staff, the board, and anyone that's been watching that league, will say they were a cut above, and they should take to the Premier League like ducks to water, really. Especially with a good existing team around them, as I said, good coaching staff, well qualified, experienced. I don't think there'll be any issues them adapting. And with the current squad, again, there's so much ability there, and a lot of them being quite young as well. They will learn very quickly, I think, in that division. And the goalkeeper was signed from a Polish club. Got a great pedigree, highly recommended to us. It'd be a bit of an unknown quantity. I think we've only 12 teams in the Premier League. I think a lot of the goalkeepers are quite well known. There's not a huge pool of goalkeepers at that level within Wales. So I think it'll be a massive. So yeah, I think that there's everything in place to hit the ground running, really. I don't see necessarily that we're going to have to tread water and find our feet for the first 10 to 12 games. I think we're gearing up to go straight in and give it a good go from the beginning.
And what do you see as the biggest challenge for yourself, maybe, in this new role, or even the club? I mean, what do you see as the biggest challenges going forward?
Well, it's an industry I've followed but never been involved in this level, so it's effectively completely new to me, which is scary. And there's a lot of pressure with now being in the Premier League, the exposure to well, the club's exposure to media, to TV, to the wider football network. We want to be competitive. We don't want to be embarrassed and struggling at that level. We want to be teams to remember and people to remember us for the way that we played football and how competitive we were. So there's a huge amount of pressure to obviously stay in the Premier League. I think I kind of took that for granted over the last 4 weeks. I was like so geared up to get to that point where we knew what was going to happen one way or another. Hopefully it will be promotion, which it turned out to be. But then within 20 minutes of the jubilation of being promoted, the realisation then that I've got to stay there now. And like there's a huge amount of work to do on and off the pitch, which we're gearing up for. But the pressure's going to be there, which for me is exciting. But it's also, as I said, we're going to be in the attention of of those following Welsh football now, and we need to make sure the pressure of being successful, but then just a completely new industry, a new area. I don't know people or businesses in the area, so it's a complete blank canvas. The first 12 months are going to be a massive learning curve, whatever happens, but hopefully by the end of it we'll be in a good place off on the pitch, and off the pitch we'll be moving forward as well.
And just finally, I mean, you mentioned the geographical location of the club obviously being as far west as it can be, I guess. There's a good nucleus of clubs not too far away from the area, and it's a competitive area for football. But how difficult do you think it's going to be, or how challenging even would it be to make Haverford West one of the powerhouses of football in South Wales? And surely that's got to be one of your aims, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, look, if we're an established Premier League side knocking on the door of Europe, winning the cup competition, it's going to bring naturally that awareness. But I think what we do off the pitch is just as important in terms of re-engaging the community, letting the whole of Pembrokeshire know, and South Wales and nationally, that we're here to support the local community. That's one of the, as I said, one of the big draws with being a Leighton Orient fan, and one of the things we're most proud of is for what they do in that area. So on the pitch, we have the only way of really, or the best way of getting people to know about us is by playing well and winning games. Off the pitch, we just want to make sure, as I said, that the club's open, engaging, working with schools, working with charities, local companies, and spreading the word far and wide, really. And if we're respected off the pitch as much as we are on the pitch, I'll be very happy.
No, well, look, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. And congratulations again on your success, and I wish you all the best for whenever we end up getting back on the pitch. I wish you all the best with it, and I look forward to coming down and seeing how you're getting on.
Thank you.
Thank you.